Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of the importance of becoming a regular systematic reader of the New Testament. Regular systematic reading of the New Testament means reading every day, or as close to that as possible, and reading it from start to finish. Not jumping around, not reading random verses, but reading it from start to finish. And one of the things that I'm doing, I'm explaining to you how to do it, but I'm also trying to sort of hold a carrot up in front of you as to why you should do it. And this week we're specifically focusing on the fact that accurate knowledge from the Word of God is your protection against deception. The return of Jesus Christ is very near, and he himself said, that one of the hallmarks of the years leading up to his return will be religious deception. There will be false prophets and false messiahs who will deceive even the very elect through lying signs and wonders. And we've been saying that the Word of God is your protection against this deception. To be deceived means to believe a lie. The Word of God is the truth, and the truth is the protection against deception. We've said that we tend to think of the last days and the second coming in terms of freaky apocalypse type movies, but it won't be a freaky movie. It'll be the natural progression of society as men increasingly reject God. And we've talked in detail about how the world is increasingly abandoning God. And as they do, they're discarding truth because God is the truth. And that fits with Satan's plan to offer a false Christ to the world. The world is primed to accept this lie because absolute truth as a concept has largely been discarded. It's not unusual to hear people say, well, that's your truth, but it's not my truth. And this kind of thinking is even creeping into the church. You see, the final world ruler, whom we know as Antichrist, is going to preside over a false Christianity. There will be elements in it that look right and sound right. And I gave the example yesterday of something that I've seen posted on Facebook more than once. The statement that if Jesus were here, he'd tell us to love each other and to live in peace. But that is wrong. That's contrary to the scripture. That's deceptive. Not so much for what it says, but for what it doesn't say. Jesus did not come to earth to teach us to love each other and to get along with each other. He came to pay the price for sin so that our sin could be removed and we could be transformed from unholy, unrighteous sinners into holy, righteous sons and daughters of God. If somehow we could muster it up and love each other and live in peace, we'd still split hell wide open because we're all guilty of sin before a holy God and we all have natures that are contrary to God. But this statement has a ring of truth because love is a hallmark of Christianity. But like I say, it's misleading because of what it doesn't say, and it adds support to the false idea that it's all about love. God is all about love, and yes, God is a loving God. But what people mean by that is God is so loving, he'd never send anybody to hell, or he'd never tell us to stop doing something that makes us happy. And as long as you're sincere, it doesn't matter what you believe or how you live. And this thinking has so infused our culture and even some parts of the church that if anybody has the audacity to say that a particular type of behavior is morally wrong, he's accused of judging or being a hater. The stage for false Christianity, for a false Christianity, has been set. And this false Christianity seems more loving than genuine Christianity because it's non-judgmental and all-inclusive, but it's contrary to what the Bible says. Jesus says, I'm the only way to eternal life. Jesus said, except a man be born again through faith in him and his sacrifice, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, earlier in the week, I mentioned that the Bible gives us much information about the nature of deception the devil will use to deceive men and women before the return of Christ, including Christians. It centers on who Jesus is and why he died. And it centers on redefining sinful behavior. Now, we could do whole lessons on this, but let me repeat that. The deception that will be rampant before Jesus' return, and it's already here, friends, it'll center on who Jesus is and why he died. It's not unusual to hear people say, of course I believe in Jesus. He was a good man, a prophet, a good moral teacher. No, although he was good, and he taught good things, Jesus is Almighty God, and he is the only way to eternal life. There's a big difference in those two statements. And there are even people saying that they do not accept that he died as a sacrifice for sin, because no God Father would be so cruel as to punish his own son, because he's a loving God. See, that's all wrong. It's heresy. It's wrong. We could do entire lessons, but we're running out of time here. All the disciples, the apostles, warned believers to be on the lookout for false Christ and false messiahs. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Peter, before he died, said, false teachers will come among you who will deny the Lord, who he is and what he is, who will deny the Lord that bought them. They'll deny who he is and what he is, and they'll deny what he did. He bought them out of sin. He bought us out of sin. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 22, John said that these antichrists had already risen up, and they deny the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior. Well, we're hearing that regularly, even in Christian circles. I say Christian with making quotation marks with my fingers, because this is not Christian. It's false Christianity. People say there are many ways to God. Humans are basically good, and Jesus is here just to help us. We just need love from we need help from a loving God to have our dreams fulfilled. No, we're guilty of sin before a holy God, and we need our sins paid for and our sin nature removed, and that only happens through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Jude, there's only one chapter in Jude, verse 4. He said, let me read that one because I didn't read it earlier in the week. For there are certain men crept in unawares who are turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. These people turn grace into lasciviousness, or an excuse for sinful living, and they deny the Lord Jesus Christ that bought them. See, I've heard it said in, quote, Christian circles, Daddy God doesn't care how I live. He just wants me to be happy, and this behavior makes me happy. I'm not guilty of sin. I just had a poor upbringing. I don't need a Savior. I need a loving friend. All that's already in place, friends. Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, said that these people will deny the transforming power of God. See, if you're not a sinner, you don't need transformation. You just need help from a loving God. If God doesn't hold us accountable for our behavior, then it doesn't matter how we live. Read the New Testament, folks. There is a judgment day coming. Read the New Testament. People will go to hell for rejecting God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we have a book in our hands that spells out who Jesus is, why he came to earth, and what he accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. The Bible also makes it clear what true Christian living looks like. It shows us the standard for holy, righteous living. I'm not saying we're perfect yet. I'm not perfect yet. I have not been fully perfected. I will be when Jesus comes again. But Paul talked about people who profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Titus chapter 1. They're not saved. They say they know God, but their works show otherwise. Now, you might say, that scares me. I love the Lord with all my heart, and I'm trying to do right, but I struggle. Well, if your heart is set on serving him, and you know what you're doing is wrong, and you're trying to change it, that's different than saying, Daddy God doesn't care how I live. He just wants me to be happy, and this foul behavior makes me happy, so I'm going to keep at it. Peter, John, Jude, and Paul all guided their readers to the Word of God. I could do whole lessons on that, but if you go back and see, if you read the epistles, you will see this. They, in the context of that last days are coming, deception is rampant, hold fast to the Word of God. They guided their readers to the Word of God. It's in the context of deception coming on the world prior to the Lord's return that we find one of the best known verses about the power and purpose of the written Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. If you go back and read the whole chapter, it was written in the context of the deception coming on the world before the Lord's return. Let me read that verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is useful for teaching the faith and for correcting error for resetting the direction of a man's life and training him in good living. The scriptures are the comprehensive equipment of the man of God and fit him fully for all branches of his work. That's the context of that verse. Protection against deception at the end. We've got a lot more to say on this subject, but consider these thoughts as we close. Without accurate knowledge from the Word of God, you have no defense against what is even now coming on this world. I know I sound like a broken record, but the best thing you can do for yourself is become a regular, systematic reader of the New Testament. I realize, like I say, I sound like a broken record. Use a translation you understand. I use the King James, and I have almost since the beginning of my walk with the Lord. But you do have to learn the language. Many of the words used when it was translated in 1611 aren't used, or they don't have the same meaning. But pick a translation you understand, and once you start reading, don't worry about what you don't get yet. Understanding comes with familiarity. As you read consistently and systematically, you'll begin to see themes that come up over and over. You may read something in chapter 4 that explains something you didn't understand in chapter 2. Just keep at it. It will be difficult at first. That's one reason I'm doing these teachings, to help motivate you to read. But as you do it, you will develop a taste for reading the Bible and get to the point where you actually miss it if you don't do it. So much we could say, but it's Friday already. We've got more next week. Please just start reading the New Testament and keep at it. If you do, a year from now, you will find it's the best decision you ever made. More next.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.